Now it's time for some of the letters to the evening news. We have quite a variety of topics today, although the letters do tend to get a bit long. Ray Brown of Heatherset touches on a subject on which we probably all have experienced frustration when phoning any institution and trying to speak to a human being. He writes, "I can but think that, contrary to many news reports, our economy must be booming. This is because whoever I contact by phone or email either provides me with an automatic reply or plays me a recorded message informing me that, due to an unprecedented level of calls, you have been placed in a queue. Please bear with us whilst our dedicated staff work tirelessly to answer your inquiry," or something very similar. "This is the case no matter who I contact: retailers, utility providers, banks, and even most recently a coroner's office. I wanted to spend my hard-earned with most of these organisations, but they must be so successful and profitable that they're in no rush to accept it and expect me to wait. Sometimes days before they do me the privilege of allowing me to part with my money. How kind of them. And please do not get me started on the number keypad pressing required before I even get to the recorded message telling me I am ninth in the queue and someone should be with me in 12 minutes. If organisations want my money, which it appears they may not because they have too much of it already, they should do me the honour of speaking to me when I ring and stop treating me like an inconvenience. Customer service, which all these organisations say they pride themselves in, means just that, serving the customer in a timely and polite manner. I would say you, Mr. Corporation, may employ cheap automated systems, but I am a human being, and not cheap, who revels in talking to and receiving a response from other human beings."
Eleanor Laming of Thorpe St Andrew draws attention to light pollution, and she says, "This is International Dark Sky Week, which aims to raise awareness of the effect of light pollution both on the ground and in orbit. Light pollution is of increasing concern locally as suburban areas are created via development on the outskirts of Norwich. Areas that were once rural agricultural landscapes are becoming industrial or residential areas with all that entails, and one of the consequences is excessive artificial light which floods our night sky. Light pollution reduces our view of space from Earth. It also has detrimental impact on living things by affecting circadian rhythms and altering behaviour. Excessive use of lighting is a waste of electricity, raising costs and contributing to greenhouse gas emissions. Whatever can be done to make development sensitive to these issues needs to be done without compromising on safety. Light levels can be limited, timing of lighting can be controlled, and light should be targeted effectively and shielded where appropriate. Certain types of light, such as short wavelength blue-rich white lights, can have adverse effects, and warm white lights and specifications should be used instead. Modern technology ensures we have access to lighting control systems, such as timers and motion sensors. Planning policies need to be fully utilised to ensure that an appropriate balance is struck between our need for lighting and the need to protect our environment from light pollution.
Our last week's edition saw lots of comments on planning problems. The debate is continued by Ray Philpott of Porringland. "I do not always agree with John Fuller, but his comments on housing developments are extremely sensible. Well-meaning conservation organisations are being given a veto over planning decisions, causing needless delays and cancellations. We have to get our water system updated, but there must be short-term changes the water companies could make. In addition, a developer comes up with a sensible plan to extend a village with affordable housing, giving support to, say, a new school. And the apparently selfish middle-class NIMBYs are up in arms. The MPs are too afraid to stand up to these interests. The local authority is the decision-maker in our open democratic system and should be allowed to make decisions without an outside veto, as long as conservation views are taken into account before the local authority makes a decision. As to roads, a colony of animals or insects being used to delay the completion of the Northern Distributor Road, even when such a colony could be moved safely elsewhere. They will probably now move on to delay the badly needed Long Stratton bypass for another 50 years. In the meantime, towns and villages are harmed by excessive traffic, and with electric cars, it's clear that the car is here to stay.
Our last letter is from Pat Watson of Acol, who is enthusiastic about and encourages us the use of increased bus services in her area. The new number 7 bus route between Great Yarmouth and Norwich, please use it, we don't all have cars, gives me more freedom, though only every 2 hours and Monday to Friday. But if you get your timings right, you can do so much. We have a good service in Acol, but now I'm able to go shopping in Caister, Thorpe, without asking family and friends to take me or changing buses. Also, you could get off at Caister and walk along the beach to Yarmouth with dogs, stop and have a coffee, and then go home. If you want to know about times and stops, call into the first bus shop at Castle Meadow. It stops along there. We don't want to lose it.